Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Yeah, John Downing with us on the line. And John, we're all trying to lift ourselves after the disappointment of last night. The mood will not be helped by driving past any petrol or diesel station across the country, because things continue to disimprove, really. And the Irish government made their big announcement this week to try and help out with that. But I'm looking at the oil price this morning. Last Monday morning, it was at $110, $111. Then Donald Trump made his announcement that, oh, we're talking to Iran, and still the song he's singing right now. But yet in the last 5 days, it's crept up to $109 per barrel, almost where it was. And we're a month in and no end in sight, despite the madness and the comments and the statements about Iran being obliterated, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. There is, curiously, a link with the tragedy of Prague last night. I think we've all just been so starved of good news or much positivity or any positivity at all, that we were looking forward to a G-up and a distraction and something nationally positive. It didn't happen, tragically, so be it. We'll have to go on. But you are right, there ain't going to be much feel-good factor. And, of course, the government package, I think, was about as good as it could have been. But it is and will continue to be a moving target. Tomorrow, it's a calendar month. Hard to reflect that we woke up on a Saturday, 28th of February, to the news that this carry-on, this murderous folly by the USA and Israel into a foray into Iran had begun, and we're still very confused and by the continued mishmash of contradictory statements by Donald Trump. Meanwhile, Israel's aims are quite clear. They're what they always have been. They want to be the primary military force in the Middle East. They're pretty much on that now. They want to seriously, seriously damage Iran economically and politically. But we go on. The government's efforts to try to cushion the most vulnerable in this regard will continue to be a moving target, just as you say. So not much joy. I know it's Friday and all the rest, and Kerry are in the league final this weekend and all the rest of that. But a struggling kind of an old day, really, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. And we're looking at, like, on the political front of it, I was watching for a while yesterday afternoon, Donald Trump had a cabinet meeting. And what these meetings have, for people who haven't seen them, they've turned into just, you know, hours-long propaganda exercises where all his cabinet ministers talk about what they've been doing and are very careful to praise him in every element of what they're doing. And he talks about whatever he wants to talk about, and very little of it is based in reality. And yet it's covered by all the networks. Alistair Campbell, the former spin doctor of Tony Blair, made the point on social media. He couldn't understand. He said the BBC were taking all of this as if it was the Sermon on the Mount. And yet what he's saying bears no resemblance in reality. This morning, 1,900 ships are stranded around the Strait of Hormuz. He's saying Iran are finished. Clearly, they're not. And yet it goes on.
They're not. I mean, they're in poor shape, but their trump card is that Strait of Hormuz. I have to admit, my definition, there used to be a definition of an intellectual long ago, which was somebody who knew where the Falkland Islands were before war broke out. Similarly, somebody who knew about the Straits of Hormuz and what a stranglehold, what a choke point it is for world energy, is the new definition of an intellectual. It is Iran's trump card, and it is the great difficulty for everyone across the globe, really. And of course, self-evidently, energy prices, fuel prices, impact the cost of absolutely everything else. So we've had in the last 3 days, following on from the government package on Tuesday, we've had reports from the ESRI, the central bank, and this morning the credit unions index of popular mood, all suggesting that people don't, quite rightly, are very reluctant to spend money, and they're basically despondent that the world has become a very, very unstable and dangerous place.
Yeah, yeah, and that's part of the problem. What do you make then, John, of the opposition's drive on this? They wanted more, they're saying the government dithered, nowhere near enough. And then the other side of it, the ESRI came out this week on Wednesday and said the general cut to excise duty was untargeted and it's a subsidy to higher income households.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem. And then you come up with the exaggerated one, like tiny handful who have private jets, you know, they get the excise rebate as well,
the same as everyone else.
Yeah. But that is the dichotomy that the government are in. It is clear. I mean, the opposition will do what the opposition do, which is to howl and say too little, too late. They were already saying it last weekend when we were only getting echoes or sketches of what was to come. They were already saying, it's not enough, it won't be enough. The government have to really manage this one. The ESRI are right by cutting the price at the pumps that benefits the poshy pulling up in his or her Jaguar or whatever. But they have to start somewhere. They also have to engage with the cost of transport. This is a two-month package. And really, what the government have to apply themselves to now is to come up with some kind of strategy for the coming winter. I mean, one of the few merciful things about this is that it kicked off on the 28th of February rather than the 28th of last October. So hopefully the worst of the winter and energy demands are behind us for a few months. But I think the government probably are just about right. They had to do something about prices at the pumps. I accept
especially
what you are saying.
Yeah, especially John, about with the idea that this will go on. I mean, we had Minister Michael Healy-Rae on the programme on Monday morning, and this is before Donald Trump said what he said about talks and Iran talks. And look, we'll see what happens, whether there is really talks or not. No real clear signs of it yet. But he actually pointed the finger straight. He said, I'm not as worried about prices as I am about supply. There's two things out. Yeah. There's a worry about supply, number one. But number two, there is the worry about the inflationary impact on the price of goods on the shelves. So will the government have to be holding something in reserve for all of that?
Absolutely. There is a great danger. This is only starting. There's strong evidence that every now and again, among the contradictory and confusing things that Donald Trump does and says, every now and again, he quite deliberately says, do you know what, lads, this won't last terribly long more, so yeah. Because the only thing he seems to take account of is the markets. And when the markets are going very far south, he is suddenly motivated to say that, you know, that this thing is finite, therefore, and to give the markets duly get a temporary G up. And the price of Brent crude, the benchmark of oil prices, tends to come down. And then, you know, we go back around the mulberry bush again. So, I mean, the government certainly, they have managed politically quite well in a very volatile world. We can't start laying down the law to the USA because it would put tens of thousands of Irish jobs in jeopardy, and it would not save a single life in Iran or elsewhere in the Middle East or Lebanon, the forgotten ones in all this most benighted, unfortunate people amid all of this as well, and just dragged into this whole carry-on again by an unfortunate set of circumstances. But Ireland has managed pretty well politically, and they're prudent enough in the approach, but this may very well only be starting. I see Dermot Ferter writing in this morning's Irish Times, going back to people sleeping overnight in their cars in the 1970s.
Yeah.
No point about supply, sleeping in cars outside petrol stations, in queues outside petrol stations, in the hope of getting a drop of juice, so life, working life especially, could go
John,
on.
John, I'll tell you one thing. I've never seen in the last week as many people, and it could be just coincidence, but anecdotally, on three or four occasions, I've seen people filling up gallon drums.
Absolutely.
At petrol stations.
The jerry can, if you were looking for a terrible pun on saving your presence, Jerry O'Sullivan, if you were looking for business opportunities here, if you could get your hands on a few petrol tins, I think there'd be a demand for them at the moment.
Yeah, there certainly is. And Simon Harris underlined all of that in terms of what might need to happen here. He told the parliamentary party meeting of Fine Gael during the week that the instability should not be underestimated. The Department of Finance is presenting him with an updated macroeconomic forecast next month. He met the governor of the central bank. They discussed the situation as well and what might need to be done down the line. And he's going to a Eurogroup finance ministers meeting today, where they'll be talking about what the European Union are going to do. So everyone's kind of holding their breath to an extent on this.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest hope is that, you know, for God's sake, that this thing could in some way stop. And that there could be, you know, some semblance of stability. Mind you, the consequences, the supply disruptions, supply chain disruptions, the number of tankers held up in the Straits of Hormuz and surrounding environs, all of that still has to, you know, would still be with us. But, you know, they're even the most creative thinking, it's very hard to find too many positives on much of this.
Yeah, certainly is. Separate issue to that, and this week as well, there's been a long ongoing saga, John, about the Occupied Territories Bill. The Minister of Foreign Affairs, Helen McEntee, came out this week talking about this. It was yesterday. She said the services element of the Occupied Territories Bill, which is the thing that really gives it teeth, significantly more complex than the goods part when it comes to crafting legislation. Sinn Féin, very critical, the progress of the bill as halting. That was questions to the Minister in the Dáil yesterday morning. McEntee said it was essential to have a pathway towards a two-state solution and a lasting peace. And they've received advice from the Attorney General on the services element, but said she could not reveal the details of this advice. It is the fact here the government just don't want to do this, despite the pressure from the opposition. And like, it's hard even to quantify just how even increasingly popular Israel has been, unpopular Israel as a nation have become now because of their actions in the last 4 years.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, I mean, Gaza is a very recent and ongoing atrocity. But you're right. What goods come from the occupied territories that might be affected by an import ban, the illegally occupied settlements set up by Israel in Palestinian lands, they would be rather academic and beside the point. The bigger issue would be services. Now, the government have an argument in the sense that they say, how do you actually enforce this? For example, an SME in Kerry buying computer packages from an Israeli-related company which could demonstrably originate in the illegally occupied territories. How do you get at that? Are you starting something really that, you know, that's quite pyrrhic and creating, generating a whole series of problems to not much, without much return politically or economically? But when you look at the broad picture, this issue has been with us since 2018. There was a very firm commitment given during the election in November 2024. So here we are, like, knocking on 16, 17 months later, and no progress. So certainly the government don't emerge from this with too much credit.
Yeah, they don't. And that's all part of the issue, I suppose, and part of the problem with it, with Sarah Rose. It's going to be a focus of the argument for quite some time as well. John, wanted to mention briefly as well one thing that was talked about this week. Presidential pardons are no longer going to be issued for people convicted of a crime before the foundation of the state. The Minister for Justice is coming out with this. He secured approval in principle from the government for a new approach to consolidating or considering applications. In future, only sentences imposed on people since 1922 can be considered. And the reasoning behind this move is based on the fact that the courts that tried offences before 22 were established under the jurisdiction of the previous British administration and not the Irish state himself.
Yeah, I would think there's an irrefutable logic attaching to this. I mean, the cases, for example, I grew up with my parents talking about the case of John Twiss, which was an incident around Castle Island. Yeah. And I remember Pat Lynch, former editor of the Corkman, writing a book about the hanging of John Twiss. That was in the late 1800s. There was the more recent pardon of Moira Scheuge, relating to the Joyce Country murders in 1882, I think, from memory, up in North Connemara. And it doesn't seem very logical that the British regime produced this, these travesties. There should be perhaps another process to somehow highlight the injustice and, you know, help shine a light upon the terrible injustices that were done. But if it was not done by an Irish government per se, it was done by a British regime. So I see a lot of logic in what Jim O'Callaghan is saying here, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Interesting. John, listen, we're going to have to leave it. The Dáil is in recess for the next 2 weeks. We'll see what happens from that point. Hopefully the war will be over by the time they come back. We live in hope, as always. Thanks for talking to us, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks' time.